Welcome to the Conscious Classroom podcast, where we're exploring tools and perspectives that support educators and anyone who works with teens to create more conscious, supportive, and enriching learning environments. I'm your host, Amy Edelstein, and I'll be sharing transformative insights and easy-to-implement classroom supports that are all drawn from mindful awareness and systems thinking. The themes we'll discuss are designed to improve your own joy and fulfillment in your work and increase your impact on the world we share. Let's get on with this next episode. Today, I'm going to talk a lot about awareness and how we think about what we're thinking about helps support us and create compassion in ourselves, so that we avoid we're living in times of tremendous stress. There's no doubt about it. At the same time, there are ways that we can work with our experience that are going to make our experience manageable and that are going to help us strengthen and deepen and grow during this time. And also think in a way so that when we come out of this time, which we will, we're going to be in a better position to make the changes that we need to make. I want to talk about some of that in this session today. Awareness is an amazing human capacity. So we talk about, well, human beings are called Homo sapiens sapiens, which are the doubly wise humans. And the reason why we're the doubly wise humans, sapiens sapiens, is because we are aware, we have the capacity to be aware that we're aware. And that's something to reflect on now, because we're so pressured by incoming right now. It's such a tense time. You know, we are trying to retool all of our lessons to teach students online. We're not even sure if they're going to get online. We have no way of reaching them and forcing that. We're trying to have all kinds of meetings with our colleagues, but meetings in front of a video screen is exhausting hour after hour. It's really tiring because we're just staring at a machine and we see people, but it's not the same give and take as when we're sitting in a room together. You can't really turn around. You can't look away. You can't get a drink of water. There are all kinds of ways that we relate when we're in the room together, which humanize and warm up our experience. So there's a lot of stress and pressure. So how we bring awareness to this time is going to help us manage this. Now, mindfulness is often talked about as moment-to-moment awareness, or being aware in the now or in the present. I don't usually teach mindfulness that way. I found that that can be quite confusing, because if your experience is you just watched the news and felt incredibly frustrated or infuriated by things that seem common sense that aren't happening to everybody's detriment, focusing on the now is not necessarily that helpful. We can focus on the now in a way that exacerbates our sense of frustration or our sense of fear or our sense of grief. It's the as the weeks go by, the loss is starting to touch all of us in closer and closer ways. There isn't a call that I'm not on where somebody hasn't immediately experienced a loss or somebody who's ill. It's just that way. These are very difficult times. They're sad times. So how do we hold that without micro-focusing on it? How do we create some space so that we allow ourselves to not push away or avoid the reality of our situation, but without telescoping in a way that depletes our own well-being and resources and sense of optimism and possibility. So when I think about mindful awareness, what I like to focus on is awareness itself. So we're aware of the things that arise in our experience. But we're aware that we're aware. Because when we start putting our attention on the quality of human awareness, of human consciousness, we start to experience a sense of mystery. Nobody knows exactly what consciousness is. Nobody knows when exactly it began or ended. Nobody knows whether we're conscious in utero or it arises, you know, everyone thinks we are, but we don't exactly know. What's the moment? Some people say that there is consciousness that can continue right at the moment of death. People come back from near-death experiences and they seem to have had consciousness. What does it all mean? We don't really know. We don't even really know why we're conscious. Like, how did that arise? So yes, there were single-celled organisms and they advanced and complexified. We went through all these species and hundreds of millions of years and lo and behold, we have human consciousness. How amazing. But nobody really knows how it happened or why it happened or when it started. So in times of stress like this, when we start putting our attention on that field of awareness, not just the things that arise in our awareness, it brings in a sense of the unknown in a positive way, the mystery that is human life. And when we get in touch with that, we have a little bit more space and reserves to deal with the extraordinary complexity that we're working with right now. Because we do have to radically shift our economic system in the short term as well as in the long term. We have to radically shift our healthcare system. We have to radically shift our ways of relating. We have to radically shift our relationship to our environment when we come back online and start running fossil fuels again to the degree we were before. Do we really want to do that? Maybe we don't. Maybe we don't need to. Maybe that's a source of jobs. There are a lot of big things we're going to be thinking about. So we need that space to be able to think about them, because otherwise we're just going to be moving the pieces around the chessboard, all of our incoming. So thinking deeply and philosophically during these times is extraordinarily helpful. And I think what I want to do is during the course of the hour, just do some practices and then talk a little bit more conceptually and philosophically, because there are a couple of different things that we're experiencing right now. Being alone together being one of them, which I'd like to talk about more from this perspective, because we want to find ways to engage with the reality as it is. We don't want to avoid. Avoidance isn't helpful. We can't really push this away. It's too big. It's too much. But we can think in a way that starts to activate our own interest in a way that we might have forgotten about, because we all lead such busy lives. So we're all busy doing, and running from one thing to the next, and grading papers, and writing reports, and applying for grants, and working with our colleagues, and creating curricula, or whatever else we're doing, or managing budgets, whatever we're doing. And we are proud if we accomplish a lot, but we don't give ourselves space to be proud of ourselves when we think in new and challenging ways. So that's really what I was thinking about, because when I think about self-care, we have to activate our own curiosity. We need to calm. We need to create a loving environment. We need to create a sense of compassion. But we also need to activate our curiosity, because that has a restorative quality in and of itself. Let's do a simple centering practice. And in this one, we'll focus on sound. We're going to focus on sound first using the bell, and then we'll focus on sound in the room, and then we'll focus on sound far away. And I'll guide you through. What this will help with is it'll help focus your own mind, your own emotions, create some grounding and allow you to not really worry about whatever you're thinking about. So you can be thinking about whatever is going on. It doesn't really matter. But I would ask you to resist the temptation right now to multitask. So for the next few minutes, turn off your emails, stop making the list, stop reading something that you had to read while you're listening, and just do the practice. And you can always feel free to chat during, so we can have kind of a dialogue. So allow yourself to sit in a comfortable but alert position with your feet on the floor, your spine tall, so that you're relaxed. You don't feel like you're, you know, tense and holding yourself up, but you're allowing yourself to be easy. You're allowing yourself to be held by the chair, be held by the floor, be held by gravity. And I'm going to sound the bell, hopefully through the mic, it won't be too loud, and just put your attention on the sound and the texture of the sound. That's all. You don't need to do anything else. Now take a moment and notice how your body feels, what's happening. If you'd like, you can close your eyes for this. You don't need to. And put your attention, imagine that you could listen to sounds that are at the edges of the horizon. So we're not really listening for real sounds, but imagine you could listen for sounds that are very far away. From my house, that would be the Delaware River. I'm in Center City. Or the Schuylkill River on the other side. Imagine that you were listening for sounds far away at the edges of the horizon. And just notice, just listen, and let your body be still. Be easy, not strained, and just listen. And you can bring your attention back. And if you would, just type in a few words, or you can just unmute yourself. What did you notice? Oftentimes when we focus in that way to sounds that are far away, yeah, trees blowing, it's nice to have some silence, birds. It can create a sense of peace. Your mind went to the ocean. Yeah, we all have our go-to places. So that type of soft listening, which you can do anywhere, you're not really listening for anything in particular, but it opens these inner qualities of attention in a relaxed way. And that tension in a relaxed way, I feel it in my body. I feel like, oh, I'm softer. I've arrived. I'm not so wound up just by listening. And it's that quality of not listening for anything in particular, but listening to something that's far away does that for us. We're going to do some mindful breathing now as well before we talk a little bit more. We use the breath because it's immediate. We're always breathing. Everyone has it. There's a universality of the human experience. And it allows us to think whatever we're thinking. So you don't want to fight with your thoughts. We're not trying to make ourselves not think. Thoughts are there. They're there. But we're allowing ourselves to be with the immediacy of the experience of being alive. So our breath is happening right now. It's sustaining us. It's oxygenating our body. It's releasing all of the stress toxins that build up. It's releasing carbon dioxide. It's helping our cells release cortisol and just all the other enzymes and hormones and chemicals that are waste byproducts of the natural course of living. So the breath is the big cleanser and it's immediate. We have a lot on our minds. We're thinking about the future. We're thinking about other people. We're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about all kinds of issues. When we're focused on our breath, those thoughts and concerns don't go away, but it keeps allowing our whole system, body, emotional system, and mental system to keep in a flow, to keep processing. We're not holding our breath. We're not elongating our breath. We're not forcing our breath. If it's shallow and soft, let it be shallow and soft. If it's short and fast, let it be short and fast. If it's deep and relaxed, let it be deep and relaxed. It doesn't matter. This is not a special breath exercise. It's not, we're not doing some of those Qigong, pranayama type breath exercises, just watching the breath. And by watching the breath, we allow ourselves to be with ourselves. The breath is a very intimate thing. We breathe ourselves all the time. And yet it also, as we focus on the breath together, it allows us to do the same thing as those we're with right now without having to create connection. Because one of the things also that you find at this time is it's nice everyone's reaching out, but sometimes I really don't feel like reaching out yet again or talking yet again. I'm having a really nice connection with a very old friend of mine I haven't been in touch with for 40 years. We haven't talked. I think we talked once 25 years ago and we were best friends 40 years ago. And that's really great, but sometimes it's just too much effort right now. So doing some mindful breathing practice, we're allowed to be in our own space. We're allowed to be with ourselves, but we're also doing it together. And because it's such, you know, it's so close to our own lives, breathing is life, that it's a very intimate thing to do together. So when you do a little bit of mindful breathing practice, you don't have to know anything about anyone, but you feel like you've shared an experience together. With the breath meditation, don't push. It can, you know, for some people, if you're experiencing a lot of anxiety, sometimes that focus on the breath can agitate. So just be easy. This is not the, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger school of mindful breathing where we're pushing. We're coaxing ourselves to be with ourselves. We're coaxing ourselves to relax. We're coaxing ourselves to let go. And we're not trying to force calm. We're not trying to force insight. We're not trying to force growth. We're allowing ourselves to be as we are. Oftentimes when people start doing some mindfulness practice, they really like to push and they really like to force things to happen. And that usually isn't a very good idea. It reminds me of, you all might have done it as well, being educators and school teachers. But when I was in kindergarten, we always had lima beans and blotter paper. We would put the lima beans in a jar with the blotter paper around it. So we would put soil in and keep them wet. And you keep watering it every day and watch the lima beans sprout and eventually grow. And it'd say, oh, this is how plants grow. So when I was little, I always tried to take the lima beans out and pull the little sprouts out to make them grow faster. And when I tried to pull the little sprout out, it didn't grow faster. It actually stopped the process. So it's the same with meditation. We just want to be easy. We want to watch. We want to be interested in the little things that happen. And, you know, we might have a breakthrough moment. We might see a little sprout. We might notice a little leaf come out. Or it might be a few days where the lima bean is still hard and hasn't started sprouting. It doesn't matter. It's the practice of observing. It's the practice of awareness that helps us cultivate that curiosity, accept ourselves as we are, allow for some space, allow for ease, allow for well-being. And that's what the practice of mindful breathing does. So take a scan of your body. Just notice how you're feeling right now. Hopefully, you know, things are loosening up a little bit more. We'll use the bell to focus. And then we'll really go for 5 minutes or a little more just to really allow yourself to experience some space and peace. So you can notice the breath at the tip of your nose or on your lungs or your belly. Really being restful, being easy. Even if what you're feeling is not easy or restful, be okay with that. You might feel on your exhalation that you just sink a little bit into yourself, like sitting back in an easy chair. You sit back into yourself, you're okay as you are. For these few moments, you can let go. You can let go of what you need to do. You can let go of unanswered questions. Spending time with ourselves and rejuvenating is one of the most important things we can do during times of stress. Even though it seems like you're just being still, you're allowing the thoughts to come and go, noticing that they arise and pass away. Even the repetitive ones, the persistent ones, arise and pass away. And there's a place in you that is observing it all, that is aware, that is always conscious, and that is steady. You can keep observing your breath, or if you find the breath to be hard to follow, Just notice the contact of your feet with the floor, or notice your weight on the chair, or notice wherever your hands are resting, the small sensations. Keep allowing yourself to be easy, appreciating your breath, appreciating the extraordinary way that it oxygenates our entire bodies and how miraculously our bodies work for us. And you can begin to bring your attention back. And when you hear the bell, we can finish.
Thank you for listening to The Conscious Classroom. I'm your host, Amy Edelstein. Please check out the show notes on innerstrengthfoundation.net. for links and more information. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with a friend and pass the love on. See you next time.